Now let us begin the fourth perek, perek b'nei ha'ir, from Daf Chav Vav, the Mishnah. If the people of a town sold the town square, the rechev shel ir, which has some kedusha, they need to use the money to buy a shul. If they sold a shul, then they want to buy a teva. The rule is milin b'kodesh v'ein merid. So if they sold a Torah, they should not buy svarim or chamashim with that money. Lahalacha, we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Kufnu and Gimel Siftal. He brings that there are two shitas if you can buy something of equal value. In other words, if you sell a shul, can you buy a shul? Yesh oisrin v'yesh matirim. The Prima Gadim brings a rule here, that when the Mechaber gives a choice, he's usually inferring that you should do like his last view that he brings, i.e. here, it would be mutter. Yesh oisrin v'yesh matirim. And the Gemara says, this Stam Mishnah goes like Rabbi Nachem b'Rabbi Yaisi, that the Rechev Shal Ir has some Kedusha, since we know on a Tainus, as we learned in the Gemara in Tainus, Daf Yud Beis Amid Beis, they used to be Mispal for rain, Maitzin Es HaTeva L'Rechev Shal Ir. But according to the Chachamim, the town square has no Kedusha. The Gemara says that only shuls of small cities can be sold, but shuls from very large cities cannot be sold. And Taisu says this is because a lot of the out-of-towners contributed for its construction. Yerushalayim is not mitame b'negoyim of Tzaras, since there is no private property. It didn't belong to any of the Shvatim. There's a machlokes if this is just the Beis HaMikdash, or all of Yerushalayim. If Yehuda holds, all the city was divided between Binyamin and Yehuda. Yehuda owned the Harabayis from the east, and the three Azars, the Ezrus Kayanim, the Ezrus Yisrael, and the Ezrus Nashim. From the Mizbeach, on all the area of Bein Ulam Mizbeach, that belonged to Binyamin. Binyamin also owned the Ulam, the Heichal, and the Kodesh Kadoshim. And the Shechina rested in the Chelik of Binyamin, because we know from the Pasuk, Uven Kesefav Shachin. The people of Yerushalayim were not allowed to charge people to sleep in their homes by the Aliyah L'Regel, since the houses didn't really belong to the so-called homeowners. But the guest should leave over some Karbanos Hayz as a present to their host. The Gemara says one is not allowed to destroy an old shul before putting up a new shul, since there's a chash that something will happen, and they will not be able to build the new shul, or they'll lose the money, and therefore they'll be left with nothing. If someone wove a beged for a mace, it is osur bahana, since once it was designated for the mace, it belongs to the mace. Hazmana milsei. Mash'en kain by bricks of a shul, there is no hazmana, since they're just bricks now, not a completed shul building. The Gemara says that tashmishe kedusha, sukkah, lulav, shayfar, or tzitzis, we can throw out those things after they're not used anymore. In other words, once a lulav is finished, you don't need it anymore, you're allowed to throw it out. In Shulchan Aruch, however, he paskins that we must be careful with the strings of tzitzis, not to be mevazed them at least. However, tashmishe kedusha, the jacket of a sefer Torah, ritzuas of tefillin, mezuzas, the tefillin sack, or the Aron Kodesh, those cannot be thrown out, but have to be put into Shemus, into Geniza. The Gemara says both the bima and the cloth on top of the bima are considered tashmishe kedusha. And the Gemara says that normally a wooden keli is makabel tuma, but a wooden vessel that is made to be used in a permanent place is not makabel tuma. In fact, it can be used to be chaitzis, to keep tuma out of a room. The Gemara says if a sefer Torah becomes illegible, we bury it next to a Talmud Chacham. There's a machlokes which is more kaddish, a beis medrash or a beis knesses. Rav Papi says that a beis medrash is more kaddish, and Rav Papa says that a beis knesses is more kaddish. The nafka mina would be if you can convert one into the other, because we know we say malan b'kodesh v'ein merid. Daf Chav Zayin. One may not sell an old sefer Torah to buy a new one, because again, we say malan b'kodesh v'ein merid. But we can wrap chumashim with the mitbachais, with the wrappings of the neviim, since you're elevating the kedusha of these wrappings. The Ran also adds that because of Milan Bakaidish, you cannot use the wrapping of one Sefer Torah to transfer it to another Sefer Torah. You can't go equal in kedusha, but Milan Bakaidish, you have to go higher in kedusha. We can place Chumashim on top of Nevi'im, but we cannot place Chumashim on top of a Sefer Torah, since they're less Kaddish. That's why today, for example, we do not put a Siddur on top of a Chumash, because a Chumash is more Kaddish than a Siddur. One is only allowed to sell a Sefer Torah to support Limud HaTorah or to get married because of the mitzvah of Pirya Verivya, and this is only true if no other money is available. But if one just needs food to eat, that he's not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah for any reason, unless it's mamash, a question of sakana. A person should not sell a Sefer Torah, even if he gets a few new ones for the money that he gets with the Sefer Torah. If one sells a Sefer Torah for the purpose of food, he will never see bracha for that money. Of course, however, if there's a case of pikuach nefesh, then he would be allowed to sell. If money was collected for a Sefer Torah, and they didn't use it at all, then the surplus money can be used for other tzarchei tzibur, since it's not fully kaddish until it was actually used for the Sefer Torah itself, the Mishnah. Rameyer says we are not allowed to sell a beis haknesses from a rabbin to a yachid, even if it's for the purpose of a shul, since it's now meridin b'kodesh. But the Chachamim say this is okay. The next rish. Rameyer says a community cannot sell a beis haknesses unless they make a condition that they have the right to buy it back later on if they want to. The Chachamim say it's okay to sell it even permanently and irrevocably. But you cannot sell a shul for a beis hamerchatz, a laundry, a mikveh, or a lavatory. Rav Yehuda says it can be sold as a courtyard, and then the purchaser can do whatever he wants with it. The Gemara says that it's also to give or take ribbis, interest. However, ribbis al menas lahachzir is a machlokes if it's mutter or asur. If a person passes water, we learn from Vahaya Machanecha Kodesh that a person must now move 4 amas away from it in order to daven. The Talmidim of Rav Zakkai asked him, in what schus did he live so long? And he said he lived long for a number of reasons. Number one, he always stood more than Dalet Amos from Tzoa when davening. Number two, he didn't call friends by nicknames. And Taisus asked that the Isser of calling friends by nicknames is only Usser if the name is distasteful. And finally, he says that he was poor, and he still made Kiddush on Yayin instead of Pas. He could have made Kiddush on Pas. And they were very poor, they really didn't have money. Still in all, he made an effort to make Kiddush on Yayin anyways. Rav Huna was short, and his daughters accidentally at one time threw their silk garments on him when he was lying on the couch. Rav Preda lived 400 years. His Talmidim asked him why he lived so long, and he answered since he was always first into the Beis Medrash, and he was mechabit all the Kohanim to bench. Daf Chav Ches. Rav Nechunya ben Akana lived a long life, since he didn't seek honor from his neighbors if his neighbors would be embarrassed, and he didn't go to sleep until he was meichel everyone, and he was generous with his money. If someone doesn't hold a grudge on other people, then his sins are forgiven. Kol ha-mavir al-midaysev, mavirin mimenu al-kol pishav. It is also to look at the features of a person who is a Rasha. If you do, your eyes can become dim. And the Gemara says, li'oilam al-yehe kilas hedyot kalbeinecha. If a person gets a kola from even a person who is just a hedyot, he has to take it very seriously. And finally, the Gemara says Reb Zera lived a long time because he never got excessively angry in his house, and he never spoke to people greater than him without a lot of kavod. Also, he never walked more than Dalet Amos without tefillin or Torah, and he never slept even a Shinas Arai in the Beis Medrash, the Mishnah. A Beis HaKnesses that has been ruined, it cannot be used as a public place or a factory, and in fact, a person cannot use that area as a shortcut to walk through it. And the Gemara says, in a shul we don't have kalas reish, we're not supposed to have kalas reish. We cannot eat or drink in a shul. And we're not supposed to stam walk into a shul just to warm up, but we are allowed to learn in a shul. And the Gemara says that shuls outside of Eretz Yisrael are built b'tanai. Once they become ruined, you can use them for public things, but not for the purpose of kalas reish. Talmidei Chachamim, however, can eat or sleep in the Beis Medrash, since they live there yomam v'layla, and they need these things for the purpose of Torah. Therefore, they're allowed to eat or sleep in the Beis Medrash. The Gemara says it helps to have a clear north wind while learning Torah, i.e. pleasant conditions help a person's learning. The Gemara says if a person needs to get his friend from a shul, he should say a Mishnah or a Pasuk, so then he'll be able to go into the shul. The Gemara says that an espeda de rabim can be held in a shul, otherwise it's not allowed. Reish Lakish was very makpid on everything he said, and he was an extremely trustworthy person. And the Gemara says that it's better to use services of a person who learns Mishnayos than to partake in the services of one who learns Gemara. In other words, don't use Talmidei Chachamim to do work for you. It's not covered for them. Amar Reb Zera, B'nois Yisrael hein hechmiru al atzman, sha'afilu rayais, hipas dam kechardel, yeshevas alav, shiva nekiyin. the daughters of Klal Yisrael were machmir on themselves, that even if they saw, and even if they see just a small drop of blood, they would count 7 days before being metahir in a mikvah. As background, midaraisa, if a woman sees blood, even if she sees it for 7 days in a row, as long as it stops at the end of 7 days, she doesn't need to wait Zayin Nikiyim, and she just needs to be tayvel that night, and then she's tahir. However, after this 7 days, if she sees dam for 3 days, she becomes a zove gedayla, and she must wait Shiva Nikiyim. B'nai Yisrael were machmer on themselves that no matter when they see dam, even if it's within the first 7 days, then they wait always a period of Zayin Nikiyim before going to the mikvah to be matar. And this is how we're nayig today. Tana de Be'el Yo. Kol ha'shayna ha'lochais muftuch loy shehu ben olam haba. Anyone who learns ha'lochais every day, he is sure to go to olam haba. Shenamar, halichas olam loy. The leaders and rulers are low. They are below Hashem. Al tikri halichais ela ha'lochais. Don't read the word halichais, but rather ha'lochais. If you learn halachas every day, olam haba will be yours. Taf chavtas. Tana Rabbanan. Mevatlin Talmud Torah la'itzas hames ulachnasas kala. We're mevatl Talmud Torah for the purpose of mace mitzvah and achnasas kala. Achnasas kala today means the badekin. The Gemara says that Bnei Yisrael is very precious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since the Shechina was always with them. They were with them in Mitzrayim, in Bavel, and Asidon Ligoya. From the pasuk in Yecheskel about Golos, Va'ehi Lohem Mikdash Ma'at, this is referring to the shuls and the Bate Midrashas that are considered Mikdashin Ma'at. We paskin that a Beis Medrash is more Kaddish than a Beis HaKnesses. In the future, all these places will be transplanted to Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says that a Bas Kol went out to all mountains, but Hashem rested the Shechina on Sinai, since it was lower and modest. And if a person is a Baal Gaiva, then he's considered a Balmum. The Gemara says we cannot have Kalas Reish in a Beis HaKvaris, in a cemetery, and we cannot have animals grazing there. We can't have a water pipe going through it either. This is all because of Kvod Mesim, the Mishnah, as background. There are four special parshias we lain before Pesach. Parshish Shkolim, since the Shkolim were brought at that time, that's lain the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar. Parshish Zohar, which is lain before Purim. Parshish Parah, which is the Shabbos before Parshas HaChodesh, since the Mechatas was used to be Matar people before the Karban Pesach. And finally, Parshas HaChodesh, which is about Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that's laid right before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And the Mishnah says, if Rosh Chodesh Adar is on Shabbos, we read Parshas Shkolim on that Shabbos. If Rosh Chodesh falls on a weekday, we read Parshas Shkolim on the Shabbos before that. The second special Parsha is Parshas Zohar, which is laned right before Purim. There are certain times we interrupt the regular Parshas HaShavua, Monday and Thursday, and lane special in Yonah D'Yoyma. Instead of laning the Parshas HaShavua on that Monday or Thursday, we lane something special. These days include Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, Purim, Atinus, Mamadais, and Yom Kippur, Shabbos by Mincha, Achremais, where we lane that special Parsha there in Achremais of the Arayas. And the Gemara says, on Rosh Chodesh Adar, they announced that everyone should bring Shkolim, so that there would be 30 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so that the money would exist on Rosh Chodesh Nisan for all the karbanos needed in the Beis HaMikdash. What is Parsha Shkolim? Rav says that it's the Parsha from Pinchas, as Karbani Lachmi. That is what constitutes Parsha Shkolim. And Shmuel says we read from Parshas Kisisa. And in fact, that's what we do today. We read Parsha Shkolim from Parshas Kisisa about the Indian of the Shkolim. The Gemara says the custom of the Bnei Eretz Yisrael was to finish the Torah only once every 3 years. Today we know we complete the Torah once every year, right before Simchas Torah. In fact, on Simchas Torah is when we actually finish it. If Rosh Chodesh Adar falls on Shabbos, we take out 3 Sifrei Torah, one for the Parshas HaShavua, the second one for Rosh Chodesh, and the third one for Parshas Shkolim. 6 people read from the Parsha, one gets an Aliyah regarding Rosh Chodesh, then we have Kaddish, then we lane Parshas Shkolim. If Rosh Chodesh Tevis falls out on Shabbos, we also take out 3 Sifrei Torah. One to lane from Parshas Miketz, one to lane for Rosh Chodesh, and one to lane the Nesiyam from Parshas Nasai. If Rosh Chodesh Tevis is during the week, first we read 3 Aliyahs for Rosh Chodesh, then we read 1 Aliyah for Chanukah. And the reason we go in that order is because we say Tadir, V'she'ena Tadir, Tadir Kodem. That's why we read Rosh Chodesh first. At that time, it was shayach for Parshas Shkolim to fall out on Parshas Tetzaveh. Today, it can only come out either during Parshas Mishpatim, or Parshas Truma, or Vayakel Vayakel Pekudei. If it fell on Parshas Tetzaveh then, six people would read till the end of Tetzaveh, and then the one person would begin right from the beginning of Parshas Kisisa, the Parsha of Shkolim. Daf Lamed. What if Parshas Shkolim falls out exactly on Parshas Kisisa, which would be an interesting situation, because what would happen is you would read the whole Parsha of Kisisa, and then you would also have to read Parshas Shkolim. Of course, we know that this cannot happen today. So in those days, what did we do if it fell on Parshas Kisisa? The Gemara says that we read six aliyahs from after the Inyan of Shkolim, and the seventh person, we would go back to the beginning of Parshas Kisisa, and we would read until the Asisa. That would be the seventh aliyah. It's mashmeh from this Gemara, as well as Gemaras we learned on Daf Yud Zayin and Daf Yud Ches, that you can read Kriyas HaTorah out of order and still be Yaitze. And we know this, Oiske Paskin in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Resh Pei Bei Sif Zayin, that it's okay b'di'evet. The Gemara says, according to Rav, Parshas Zohar must be the Shabbos before Purim, since we need to remember Zechiras HaMalek before we celebrate the Simcha of Purim. The Zman of Parshas Parah is a Machlekes. If it's the Shabbos after Purim, or the Shabbos before Parshas HaChodesh. We actually do like the latter, that we always lay in Parshas Parah, the Shabbos before Parshas HaChodesh. This is similar to the Dalet Kaisis, that we're not mafsik in drinking additional wine between the third and fourth Kais. Just like by the third and fourth Kais, we're not mafsik, the same thing by the Dalet Parshas, that we're not mafsik between the third Parsha, Parshas Parah, and the fourth Parsha, Parshas HaChodesh. Rashi goes here into a detailed explanation of what constitutes the Dalet Parshas and what's the order of them. According to Rashi, Rosh Chodesh Adar can only fall on Zavdu, can only fall on the seventh day, Zion, can only fall on Shabbos, Beis, which is Monday, Dalet, which is Wednesday, and Vav, which is Friday. If it fell out on Sunday, Tuesday, or Thursday, that can't happen, because if it did, we would have a problem with Yom Kippur either falling out on Friday or Sunday, which cannot happen, because then you'd have two Shabbosos like in a row, or Hashanah Rabbah would fall out on Shabbos, and we can't have that either. Therefore, it can only fall out on Zavdu. So if Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, then the Hafsaka, the Shabbos, the one Shabbos that we don't lay in one of the Dalet Parshas, will be between Parshas Zohar and Parshas Parah. If Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on Monday, the Hafsaka will be between Parshas Shkolim and Parshas Zohar. If Rosh Chodesh falls out on Wednesday, then it's the same thing. The Hafsaka would fall out between Shabbos Shkolim and Shabbos Zohar. But if Rosh Chodesh Adar is on Friday, then we have two Hafsakas, actually. We have a Hafsaka between Parshas Shkolim and Parshas Zohar, and between Parshas Zohar and Parshas Parah. The Gemara says that on a Tainus, they used to examine the affairs of the town in the morning. So if it fell on Monday or Thursday, they would read the regular Parsha in the morning, and they would wait till the afternoon by Mincha to read Vayechal. Today, however, the Ran says that in both the morning and in the afternoon on a Tainus, we read Vayechal. The Mishnah. On the first day of Pesach, we read from the Inyan of Yontov in Parshas Emor, Shor Oichesev. On Shavuos, we read from Re'eh, Sheva Shavuos. On Rosh Hashanah, we read from Parshas Emor. It's interesting we don't paskin like any of these three things today. On Yom Kippur, we read from the Avodah in Achreimos. On Sukkos, we read from Emor, and the rest of Sukkos, we read from the Karbanos. These three we do paskin like today. Interestingly enough, that Taisus says the Mishnah, or the Gemara, makes no mention of the second Sefer Torah, which we read on Yontif, where we read from Parshas Pinchas. So where does this minig come from? He explains that this minig of reading from Parshas Pinchas on Yontif comes from the Seder Rav Amram. The Mishnah continues, on Chol HaMoed Sukkos in Eretz Yisrael, we read for the exact day of the Karban. However, in Chutz La'aretz, because of Sveika D'Yema, we have a more complex situation. For example, on the first day of Chol HaMoed, for Kayin, we read U'B'Yayim HaSheni. For Levi, we read U'B'Yayim HaShlishi. For the third Aliyah, we read U'B'Yayim HaRevi. And the fourth Aliyah, we repeat U'B'Yayim HaSheni and U'B'Yayim HaShlishi. On Hanukkah, we read from Parshas Nasai, the Nasiim. On Purim, we read from Parshas Beshalach, from Vayavai Amalek. On Rosh Chodesh, we read U'Rotshei Chodsheichem, from Parshas Pinchas. For the Mamadais, we read the Maisa Bereshis. And finally, on a tainis, we read the klolos. We don't paskin like this either today, because today on a tainis, we read vayechal. Daf lamed aleph. The Gemara says, according to Abaya, today's custom on Pesach, first day of Pesach, is to read as follows. On day one, we read from Parshas Bay regarding the Karban Pesach. On day two, we read Sharei Chesef, which is related to the Sefira. On Chol HaMoed, we read Mapu. This stands for the first words of the Parshas that we read from, specific Psukim. The first day of Chol HaMoed, we read Parshas Bay. The second day from Parshas Mishpatim. The third day from Parshas Kisisa. And the fourth day from Parshas Baloischa. These are all related to Pesach. On Shvi Shel Pesach, we read the Shira from Parshas Peshalach, due to Kriyas Yamsuf, which happened on that day. And on the last day, the eighth day, Achron Shel Pesach, we read from Parshas Re'eh, Kol HaBachar. If it falls out on Shabbos, we started a little bit earlier in Parshas Re'eh, and we begin from Aser to Aser. On Shavuos, the first day of Shavuos, we read from Parshas Yisrai, the Kabbalah Satira. And on the second day of Shavuos, we again read Kol HaBachar. On Rosh Hashanah, we read like the Shita of the Yeshayimrim, which says we read on the first day of Hashem Pakad Esara, because that happened on Rosh Hashanah. And on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, we read the Parsha of the Akedah, the Akedah's Yitzchak. The Haftarah on the second day is Habein Yakirli from Yirmiyahu, due to the inyan of Zohar Eskerenu Ne'um Hashem, which is related to Tshuva. On Yom Kippur, we read about the Avodas Yom Kippur from Parsha Zacharemos. And in Mincha, we read the Parsha of the Arayas, also from Parsha Zacharemos. Why is it we read this on the afternoon of Yom Kippur? One is, you could say, we read this because this is a common Avera. Taisus says, since the women dress up on this day, we know that women used to get dressed up on Tu B'Av and on Yom Kippur, therefore we remind people about the Avera of Arayas that afternoon. Also the Medrash says that this is a remez to Hashem. Just like you have asked us not to be Megala Arayas, please don't be Megala our Averas. Finally, Rabbeinu Yonah says in Shari Tshuva that a person's taiva is the yisoid of all averus. If a person can conquer his taiva, i.e. arayas, he won't be nichshel in any other averus either. The maftir on the afternoon of Yom Kippur is maftir Yonah, since at that time in Nineveh they did tshuva. On the first day of Sukkot, we read from Parshas Emor. This is the inyan of Sukkot, Sharei Chesef. The second day, we read the same thing. On Chol HaMoed, we read regarding the Karbanas HaChag. On Shmini Atzeres, we begin in Parshas Re'eh. And we always begin from Aser to Aser. We never begin from Kol HaBachar, even if it's not Shabbos. And the reason this is true is since that's the time of the ingathering of the Tevuah and the Maaser. That's why we begin from Aser to Aser, whether it's Shabbos or whether it's during the week. On Simchas Torah, we read from Vezayis HaBracha, since it's the last of the Yamim Tovim, corresponding to the last Brachas of Moshe. And of course, because we want to finish up the Torah. Incidentally, in Eretz Yisrael, since Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah are only one day of Yontav in total, we only read Vezayis HaBracha, but we do not read Aser to Aser. If you want to remember the 3 days in Chutz La'aretz that we read Aser to Aser or Kol HaBachar, just remember that the 3 days that we say Yisker, we always say Yisker on the last day of Pesach, on the second day of Shavuos, and on Shmini Atzeres. Those 3 days which we say Yisker, of course we also say Yisker on Yom Kippur, but those 3 days that we say Yisker happen to be the 3 days that we lay in Kol HaBachar, Aser to Aser. In Eretz Yisrael, however, those 3 days are extra days of Yontif. Therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, aside from when they lay in Parshas Re'eh during the rest of the year, they never read Kol HaBachar or Aser to Aser, especially except when they lay in Parshas Re'eh in its normal time. On Chanukah, we read Parshas Nasai about the Nasiim. And the Haftarah we read on Shabbos Chanukah is from the Navi Zechariah, Rani V'Simche. On Purim, we read regarding Amalek from Parshas Peshalach. On Rosh Chodesh, we read regarding Rosh Chodesh from Parshas Pinchas. And if it's on Shabbos, the Haftarah is from Yishaya, Samach Vav, Hashamayim Kisi. If Rosh Chodesh comes out on Sunday, so on the Shabbos, the day before, we read from Shmuel, Vayomer lo Yainasan Machar Chodesh. Our minig before Tisha B'Av is to read the Haftarah of Chazayin Yishayahu Ben Amoitz, which of course is called Shabbos Chazayin, and the Shabbos after that we read Nachamu, and that's why that's called Shabbos Nachamu. On Tisha B'Av we read in the Torah from Parsha Va'eschanan, Ki Soilid Banin. The Gemara says, if not for the Mamadais, the world would not be able to exist. Avraham Avinu asked Hashem, if Bnei Yisrael is Chayta, will you destroy them like you did, like you destroyed the Dor HaMabel? And Hashem promised not to do that in the Schus of all the Karbanos. And after the Zman Beis HaMikdash, if they read about the Karbanos, then it's the equivalent of bringing the Karbanos. The Gemara says when we read in the Torah about the Klolos, we do not stop in the middle of an Aliyah, but rather we read it straight through. In fact, we always put a few psukim before and after the Klolos. So a bracha is not said before a klal. This is referring, of course, to Bechukosai, where we read the Teichecha, and in Parshas Kisavoy, we read the same, and this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch Simen, Tof, Chaf, Ches. Ezra HaSofer instituted 10 takanas, one of which was to lain from the Torah Monday and Thursday in the morning, and Shabbos in the afternoon. Part of this was to lain the klalos of Bechukosai before Shavuos, and the klalos of Kisavoy before Rosh Hashanah. Taisa says that today actually we read Bechukosai. The following week we read Bamidbar. Sometimes we read Nasai also before we get to Shavuos. Regarding Rosh Hashanah, we read Parshas Kisisa, then Nitzavim, or Nitzavim Vayelach, then comes Rosh Hashanah. The purpose of these klois is to get rid of them before the end of the year. What is Shavuos? Shavuos is not a Rosh Hashanah. So he answers that Shavuos is a little bit of a Rosh Hashanah because it's the Rosh Hashanah for Peiros Ha'ilon. The Gemara says that we always should heed the words of Zakenim over the words of the Na'arim. According to Reb Meir, Shabbos by Mincha, we read until Sheni. On Monday, we read until Shlishi in the Parsha. And on Thursday, we read until Revi. And then when we get to Shabbos, we pick up from Revi and we read till the end of the Parsha. Reb Yehuda says we lain by all three of these days, we only read till Sheni. And the following Shabbos, we read over the entire Parsha. Reb Zera paskins, like Reb Yehuda, and this is, of course, how we do it today. Taisva says before reading from the Torah, a Balkari must prepare by practicing. Also, while reading, a person is not allowed to lean on the bima. Both the person who gets the Aliyah and the Balkari should not lean on the bima, unless, of course, a person is too old and frail and needs to lean on it, because otherwise he would not be able to stand. Daf Lamed Beis. Reb Meir says when a person gets an Aliyah, we see the place to read from. A person should look in, see where the Aliyah is going to begin. Then he closes the Sefer Torah. He makes the bracha Asher Bacharbanu. Then he opens up the Sefer Torah again, and then we read. Then the Baal Aliyah, of course, as we know, was also the person who was the Balkari. The reason we close the Sefer Torah before the person makes the bracha is since we don't want people to think that these brachas are written right inside of the Torah. Rabbi Yehuda argues on Reb Meir, and he says that we do not close the Sefer Torah, but we make the bracha with the Sefer Torah open. In other words, we look into the spot where it is, we make the bracha with the Sefer Torah open, and then we lay. Why is this that we don't close the Sefer Torah? Since we don't want tircha de tzibura. The Mishnah Berurah says you can go either way. You can either keep it closed or open it when you make the bracha. However, the bracha, which we make at the end of an aliyah, asher nasan lanu, that we definitely do with the Sefer Torah closed. Reb Masna says that the luchais, which Rashi explains is the covers for the Sefer Torah, and the bimais, are not considered Kli Kedusha, but are just Hashmishei Kedusha, so are not as holy. The Gemara says when the Torah is read, the most prominent person should get Hagba. The Mishnah Berurah says that we're not makpid on this today to give necessarily the most prominent person Hagba. And the Gemara asks, how do we know that we should follow a baskol? What is a baskol? A baskol is a voice that comes down from the Shemayim, which is at a lower level than a nevuah. How do we know that we're supposed to follow this? We know from the pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Lamed, the oznacha tishmana. The Gemara says any person who reads the Torah without trup, or he reads a Mishnah without nigun, back then they used to actually sing it, it's a sign that to him the chukim are not that important, are not that nice. Rav Misharsha says that if two Talmidei Chachamim live in the same city and always quarrel in halacha, but don't learn b'chavrusa, they're destined to make mistakes. The Gemara says any person who touches a Sefer Torah while it's naked, he will be buried Orem, because we're afraid of a chash that a person may come to touch the Sefer Torah while his hands are dirty. And finally, the Masechta ends by saying that Moshe instituted for Klal Yisrael that they should be darish on the halachas of Pesach before Pesach, the halachas of Shavuos before Shavuos, and the halachas of Sukkos before Sukkos, i.e. 30 days before the Yom Tov. Hadron Allah, Masechta Megillah.